I know you think I'm a psychopath, Democrat lurking in the dark. This sucks, I'm the Kmart soda drip, soda trash. I kept the stash of coca candy straight from Japan, hologram, and she was never as thin. Think you know what I need to get by?
Something for your mind. You're listening to The Baby Bunker. I'm your host, Amelia Eagle. This next half hour, we've got all sorts of stuff planned you're going to want to stick around for. Today, we have a bubble scientist teaching us how to perfect the bubble, a nature specialist showing how to use our five senses, and a teeny tiny story, and more. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Sociopath, my lovely prey, I'm a cliche. Make way, I'm in my Pepsi moon. Mama needs food, how about a barbecue? For us, the bourgeoisie, so carefree. Remember when we? I don't know why you need to get by.
Something for your mind. Something for your mind. Something for your
fire.
Radio kid. Bubble, 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 bubble. They're not just fun words to say, but also fun to make. Chances are, at some point in your life, you have blown a bubble using a little wand and some soapy solution. But can you think of other kinds of bubbles you see regularly in life? Some of you have blown bubbles with your chewing gum. Or have you ever shaken up a can of soda and witnessed all the bubbles spill over in a foaming mess when you opened up the can? Or you may have even seen your little baby brother or sister blowing spit bubbles. The bubble I want to talk to you about is the soap bubble. Do you know how soap bubbles form? If not, listen in. Soap and water are both made of molecules. Molecules are groups of specific atoms bonded together. One end of the soap molecule is hydrophilic, meaning it is attracted to water. The other end is hydrophobic, meaning it repels water. When soap mixes with water, the opposite ends of the soap molecules sandwich a thin layer of water in between them, creating a thin film that is filled with a small or large amount of air, and thus creating what is known as a bubble. I'm going to share a bubble juice recipe that will lead you to making bigger bubbles, better bubbles, or both. To make the bubble juice, you will need liquid dish soap, Dawn works best, water, a clean container with a lid. This could be something like an old yogurt container or an old mayonnaise jar, but pretty much any container will work. Glycerin or light corn syrup, a bubble wand or straw. Again, to make the bubble juice, you will need liquid dish soap, Dawn works best, water, a clean container with a lid. It could be something like an old yogurt container or mayonnaise jar, but pretty much anything will work. Glycerin or light corn syrup, and a bubble wand or straw. Vous connaissez mon jeu par cœur, alors défendez-vous. Sans tricher, je vous le promets. J'ai gagné, tant pis c'est bien fait, vous êtes mon jouet. À présent, ce ne sera plus vous mais toi. Et tu feras ça, t'apprendras n'importe quoi pour moi.
enfer, je vais t'assurer. Un enfer de griffes et de crocs, tu crieras bientôt au secours. Alors décidant de ton sort, pour m'éviter quelques remords, je t'aimerai plus fort. Oh oui, plus fort, oui, 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 plus fort. Oh, plus fort, oui, oui.
Once you have gathered your ingredients, measure 3 cups of water and a half a cup of dish soap and pour both into your container. Stir mixture slowly until the soap is mixed in. Try to avoid foaming or bubbling the mixture. Next, measure 1/8 cup of corn syrup or 1/2 tablespoon of glycerin and add it to the mixture, stirring until everything is mixed. You can now dip your bubble wand or straw into the mixture and start blowing bubbles. If you don't have a bubble wand, you can make one using pipe cleaners or wire. Look around your house and explore the different objects that may be good bubble blowers. Try dipping them in the bubble solution and see which objects work best. Some examples could be a coat hanger, a paper clip, or a cookie cutter. Remember, not all objects will work great, but don't be afraid to get creative and try them all. See how big you can blow your bubble. You can have a contest with a parent or a sibling to see who can make the biggest bubble. Some expert bubblers have made bubbles as big as cars, and maybe someday you can too. Don't forget to take advantage of this beautiful spring weather and practice the art of bubbling outdoors. However, bubbles can be picky. If it's too windy a day, too dry, or too sunny, it may be trickier to make bubbles outdoors. Also, check out some true bubble inspiration with expert bubble blowers Tom Naughty and Melody Yang. Until next time, bubblers!
Thanks, Chloe, for yet another awesome science experiment. I checked out Tom Noddy and was amazed to learn that you can make a square bubble. Don't believe me? Go see for yourself. I challenge you to send a recording of yourself making a bubble cube. Post it to our Facebook page. But first, here's Claire Costello with the weekend weather report.
This is Claire Costello with your weather report. It's going to be mostly sunny today. Over the weekend, it's going to be snowy with some rain. Hopefully, you guys can get outside and have some fun. If your guys' snow is good enough, maybe even build a snowman. Bye!
Thanks, Claire. Without the weather, you never know how many sweatshirts or socks you're going to need to put on before you go outside. Up next, we have Katie Krellick reading Teeny Tiny.
Teeny Tiny by Jill Bennett and Tommy DePaola. Once upon a time, there was a teeny tiny woman who lived in a teeny tiny house in a teeny tiny village. One day, this teeny tiny woman put on her teeny tiny hat and went out of her teeny tiny house to take a teeny tiny walk. When the teeny tiny woman had gone a teeny tiny way, she came to a teeny tiny gate. So the teeny tiny woman opened the teeny tiny gate and went into a teeny tiny churchyard. In the teeny tiny churchyard, she saw a teeny tiny bone on a teeny tiny grave, and the teeny tiny woman said to her teeny tiny self, "This teeny tiny bone will make some teeny tiny soup for my teeny tiny supper." And so the teeny tiny woman took the teeny tiny bone from the teeny tiny grave and put it in her teeny tiny pocket and went back to her teeny tiny house. When the teeny tiny woman got to her teeny tiny house, she was a teeny tiny bit tired, so she went up her teeny tiny stairs and put the teeny tiny bone into her teeny tiny cupboard and got into her teeny tiny bed. When the teeny tiny woman had been asleep for a teeny tiny while, she was awakened by a teeny tiny voice from the teeny tiny cupboard, which said, "Give me my bone." And the teeny tiny woman was a teeny tiny bit frightened, so she hid her teeny tiny head under the teeny tiny bedclothes and went to sleep again. And when she had slept a teeny tiny time, the teeny tiny voice cried out again from the teeny tiny cupboard a teeny tiny bit louder, "Give me my bone." This made the teeny tiny woman a teeny tiny bit more frightened. So she hid her teeny tiny head a teeny tiny bit further under the teeny tiny bedclothes. And when the teeny tiny woman had been asleep again for a teeny tiny time, the teeny tiny voice from the teeny tiny cupboard said a teeny tiny bit louder, "Give me my bone." The teeny tiny woman was a teeny tiny bit more frightened, but she popped her teeny tiny head out of the teeny tiny bedclothes and said in her loudest teeny tiny voice, "Take it." The end.
The mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what the mama saw, it was against the law. Ooh, the mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. The papa said, "Oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, ain't the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard." Me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek, and I'm on my way.
I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Great story, Katie. Thank you. Hope you guys got your wiggles out on that last song, because up next we have nature educator Kate Peters giving us a lesson on how to meditate in nature.
Hello, folks. My name is Kate, and I'm calling today from California. I run a nature program for kids out in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I wanted to talk to you guys about why we focus on awareness and the use of our senses when going out into nature. Think about an animal, let's say a fox, for example. So a fox spends its whole life using its senses. It uses its nose to sniff out animals like voles so it can hunt, and it uses its eyes to notice other creatures out in the forest that might want to harm that fox, like an eagle. Eagles sometimes hunt foxes. It uses its eyes to place its feet when it's hunting. It uses its ears to listen to other foxes yipping, a lot of communication, and it uses its sense of taste to decide which berries are good to eat. I know here in California, the gray foxes eat a lot of elderberry, and then they switch over to a berry called holly leaf cherry, so it's a kind of cherry. So as humans, sometimes we focus on our imagination or on our thoughts, rather than using our senses to observe all of the magical things around us in nature. So our senses, just like the fox, allow us to experience the magic that's out in nature. I would like for you to try something today, and you guys can do this as we go along, or you can try doing this later with your family. This is called sense meditation. It's basically where you use your senses to notice a lot of detail in nature that you maybe wouldn't notice otherwise. So go outside, find a place outside where you can sit, close your eyes. And if it's hard to keep your eyes closed, I know that a lot of people have trouble keeping their eyes closed because it's really easy to get interested in something that you see. But if you have trouble keeping your eyes closed, you can try wearing a bandana over your eyes. So once you're settled, you've taken a few breaths, you can start. I'm going to kind of guide you through it this first time. With your eyes closed, imagine being a rabbit with long ears that move every which way to catch every sound in the forest. You can listen for the quietest noise around you. You can start listening now. And can you hear any wind in the trees? There's a lot of wind where I'm at right now. It's raining. I can hear the raindrops too. And can you hear any birds? Do the birds sound relaxed, excited, or upset? Something cool about birds is that if they sound relaxed, that usually means there's not a predator moving through the forest. And if they sound upset, sometimes that means that there's something dangerous moving. So next, after you pay attention to all of the noises around you, you can imagine being a frog with wet skin that feels everything. So frogs have those big front feet that touch the ground and help them move through all the underwater plants that they have to swim through. Focus on your sense of touch. How does your body feel? Do you feel cold or warm? Can you feel a breeze blowing? Can you feel the ground that you're sitting on? And is it soft or hard? You can touch the ground with your hands and feel whether or not the ground is dry or if it's holding water. Around here, it's been raining for the last few days, so the ground is very wet. You can feel the ground and find out if it's covered in leaves or grass or is it just dirt. So next, imagine being a big wolf with a nose that can smell an elk from miles and miles away. Use your nose to smell. Can you notice the smell of the soil of the land around you? Has it rained recently? Can you smell that rain? Can you smell any trees or plants? Around here, the pine trees are releasing a lot of really nice smells. After you've smelled the air around you, you can pick up a handful of soil, and you can smell that too. And one thing I like to do is to pick up the soil underneath different kinds of trees and smell it. And you can smell the difference between the leaves of one tree that have decomposed and the leaves of another tree that have decomposed. That's very fun too, to be able to tell the difference. So next, imagine being a hummingbird flying in the air, hovering in front of a flower. Imagine the sense of taste that will allow you to taste all the different flowers in the forest. Every single nectar has its own flavor, and the hummingbird can tell the difference between each flower. Checking in with your own sense of taste, can you taste the last meal that you ate, or maybe a tea or a juice that you drank? Did you nibble on a wild edible plant while you were moving through the forest? Around here, there's a lot of chickweed and miner's lettuce, which is like a little green that you can nibble on as you move. Can you taste any raindrops that maybe you sipped off of a fir tree while you were walking through the forest? Once you're done checking in with your sense of taste, try opening up your eyes and imagine being an eagle way, way up in the sky, looking down and seeing all the details on the land. And notice all the colors of the trees and the ground and the rocks and the sky, maybe the clouds. Notice any movement of animals in the wind. Can you see any creatures moving? There's a lot of birds moving where I'm at right now. Look at the texture of the tree bark and the rocks. Do they look cracked and rough, or are they smooth and glossy? And lastly, after you're done looking at the world around you, try checking in with all of your senses at the same time. And that can be really tough. Sometimes it's easier to focus on one sense at a time, and it's hard to be aware of all of your senses at once. Give yourself a couple of minutes to just feel all of your senses at one time. One way that I like to think about this is as if it's Jedi training in the Star Wars movies. When a young Jedi student is told to feel the Force, you could think of this as using your awareness and senses to observe the universe that we live in. And when you practice using your senses, you start noticing patterns in how the animals live and in how the plants grow and how the ocean moves and how the sun and the moon and the stars move through the sky. You get to observe kind of the mystery and the magic of the universe that we live in. And I like to practice doing this as often as possible. I go sit outside and become very still and quiet, and then start doing one of these sense meditations. And what I've found is that when I get really quiet and I tap into my senses, I start noticing things and seeing things that I wouldn't see before. When you become calm after doing one of these sense meditations, oftentimes animals respond to that by actually coming back out from where they've been hiding, and they just start going about their regular business of moving and eating and foraging for water and food. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this. I hope you guys try doing it several times. So thank you.
Most with combs for seeds, most with needles for leaves. C is for conifers, my kind of trees. Large junipers and fir, spruce cedars and pines. C is for conifers, more than 500 kinds. If you see a Christmas tree or a stack of newspapers or a 2x4 frame of a house, it's probably made from pine trees, and pine trees are conifers. That's what this song is about. Or if you see a plant in the shape of an elephant or in the shape of a dog, it's probably a shrub, a conifer shrub, pruned into that shape by someone. Most with combs for seeds, most with needles for leaves. C is for conifers, my kind of trees.
larch, junipers and fir, spruce, cedars and pines. C is for conifers, more than 500 kinds.
There are so many different kinds of conifer trees. This is just a few of them. Spruce. Hemlocks. Larch. Cypress. Juniper. Fir. Douglas fir. Cedar. Yew. Pine. The dwarf conifer. And the great California Sequoia redwood.
Most with combs for seeds, most with needles for leaves. C is for conifers, my kind of trees. Larch, junipers and fir, spruce, cedars and pines. C is for conifers, more than 500 kinds.
Well, that's all for today. I hope you guys got a chance to make the new improved bubble, heard a good story, learned how to quiet your mind to notice more while you're outside, learned what the weather's going to be like when you go outside, and boogied down in between. I have to go feed my dog, Oscar, another piece of cheese. Thank you so much for listening to the Baby Bunker. See you next week. Like